So when the church or mind is natural, there is no comprehension that spirits and angels are men like men in the world, and that they possess in every respect like things to those possessed by men. So we have a question here. What are the things that we possess and are held in common with spirits and angels? Natural thinking, or the natural mind, immediately thinks of possessions in terms of material things. But that's not what is meant here. What's meant are possessions of the mind, mental faculties. This is how this is understood spiritually. Angels and spirits, like men, are in possession of a will and an understanding. The difference is in the quality of what is willed and what is understood. When it states that men are natural and all things they possess are from a natural origin, it's talking about the quality of the thoughts and affections that makes up their mental life. Angels and spirits, on the other hand, are only interested in what is of a spiritual nature. So everything that flows into their wills and understandings gives rise to affections and thoughts that have spiritual realities as their focus. Natural thinking is occupied with things of the world, hence is of a natural origin. Spiritual thinking is occupied with the things of the spiritual world, so is of a spiritual origin. Where the natural mind thinks in space and time, the spiritual mind thinks apart from space and time, and so delights in those things that are of a spiritual nature, which are states of mind. The states of what is good and true is what spirits and angels are occupied with so far as their mental life is concerned. And we see this reflected in the structure of the word, which accommodates itself to a natural mode of thinking so far as the sense of the letter is concerned, and to a spiritual mode of thinking so far as its internal sense is concerned. And it goes much farther than this, for the word or the logos is what underpins and so gives rise to all that is perceived in the natural senses belonging to the natural mind, and similarly in the spiritual senses of the spiritual mind. So all things are brought into being by the word. That is, the logos underpins all existence, so that all that is, when comprehended spiritually, reveals the Lord. This is true of divine revelation in the form of written texts. These support every level of the human mind, so whether natural or spiritual in form, the word can meet the prevailing state in support of its regeneration. The style of the word is unique in this respect, which sets it apart from all other forms of writing. Its divine style carries the divine purpose, this being a love for the salvation of the human race, and is also the means by which this is accomplished, as the word or the logos forms the uniting medium that conjoins human and angelic beings with the Lord. The word, where received, opens the deepest affections in the recipient and meets them in the delight of their life. The provision for that where angelic consciousness is concerned is in its internal meaning, which in form is what is termed a spiritual style, as is shown in the Doctrine of Sacred Scripture, number 71. And that reads as follows. As to the word in heaven, it is written in a spiritual style. There are therefore no names of persons and places, but instead of the names are the things which these names signify. The things signified by names in the word are the things of a celestial and spiritual nature. These are things that belong to the will and understanding. So those things that are good and true or their opposites, that is, what is evil and false. So when the things signified are attended to, this being the spiritual meaning, the focus is on the psychological processes and structures belonging to the activity of the human mind. The uses that angels and spirits, and so the internal sense of the word, serve is what's involved in the regeneration of the human mind. The form the word takes on a more interior level is concerned with states of mind. This is what constitutes the wisdom of angels. For angelic forms of mind are organizations of goods and truths from the word into a living human form. They are forms of charity. It is their influence that flows into receptive human minds via spirits with which they are associated on the level of the natural plane, where it manifests as spiritual light or insights into the spiritual sense of the word and its application so far as living a spiritual life is concerned. Angels and spirits, like human beings, are human to the degree that the word has been integrated into their lives. This integration and expansion of goods and truths continues on eternally, and with it the depth of uses is ever increasing. Wisdom is living in what is good and true. Angels and spirits increase their capacity for this through reflecting on the quality of their own states of life, for they recognize that this contributes to the well-being of all. Angels recognize that everything arising in the field of their sensory awareness has a celestial and spiritual origin, that what they perceive as the objects of their senses are corresponding projections generated by the inflowing of the Lord's life into their minds. The mental world of angels is displayed before them as a sensory world they inhabit, along with all its objects. Every aspect of the angelic world experienced without represents their collective mental states within. Angelic consciousness, through its innate capacity to think correspondentially, sees the objects of its environment, but thinks symbolically in terms of the states of mind the objects represent. This is the nature of their wisdom from the word, which is, of course, written in correspondences. And so we read in the Doctrine of Sacred Scripture, number 73, the angels acknowledge that all their wisdom comes through the word, for they are in light in proportion to their understanding of the word. The light of heaven is divine wisdom, which to their eyes is light. In the sanctuary where the copy of the word is kept, there is a flaming and bright light that surpasses every degree of light in heaven that is outside of it. The cause is the same as above mentioned. It is that the Lord is the word. So, by the Lord's glorification is meant coming to see that the word is the Lord. Thus, it is the word that is glorified, or is seen to be divine, as its spiritual and celestial senses are perceived shining forth from within the letter. This perception of the quality and nature of the word arises as the mind of the perceiver, or the one engaging with the word, is regenerated. So the glorification of the Lord or word, which is the same thing, doesn't constitute any change in the Lord or the word. This has always been divine. The change is in the perceiver's mind, so that as it undergoes regeneration, so the internal senses of the word or its glory shines forth ever more strongly, so that the word is seen for what it actually is, the Lord in his divine human, or the divine coming forth to view in a form that we can intellectually grasp. So where the natural mode of thought sees the glorification of the Lord as changes taking place in the historical figure of Jesus Christ, a spiritual mode of thinking, having removed material ideas of person, place, time, and space, sees the glorification in terms of changes in mental states. And those changes within the perceiver lead to the perception of the true nature of the Word itself.